Holy Spirit, I just ask you to help right now with this, Lord. Open our understanding. You are the teacher, and we are the students, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to show us, reveal to us, unveil our eyes, the eyes of our understanding today. Deliver us from deception, from lies, and lead us into all truth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Did anybody not get a communion cup today? Hallelujah. When Paul was giving instructions to the Corinthian church, I'm sure that he wanted to be able to give a good report and to praise them for the good things that they were doing. And they were doing some good things. They were what you would call a charismatic church. They had the full expression of the gospel and all the gifts and the tongues and all the prophecies and healings and all these things. So they were a charismatic type church. But Paul, sometimes those charismatics, you just got to kind of reel them in a little bit, and you can't reel me in, but, you've tried a few times, I know, but the Lord gives us his word as an instruction, as a way of kind of keeping things in perspective. We don't want to be spiritual without truth. Amen. We want to be spiritually true. So God gives us understanding by the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God that reveals the deep things of God. We cannot know the mind, the heart of our Father, except that he be revealed by his Holy Spirit. So God has given to us his Holy Spirit. If you're in Christ today, you've received that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Amen. That Comforter has come, and you have a teacher within you, an anointing that you receive, if you will. And so the Lord wants to reveal to us his ways. He wants to teach us. He wants, just like we want to instruct our own children, so that they'll grow up to be mature, responsible adults, right? And to protect them. So the Lord gives us his word as instruction. So Paul had to deal with some issues that were going on in the Corinthian church, to where they were really operating a lot in their carnal nature and not as spiritual as maybe they thought they were. And when you know you can be really noisy and be very carnal. You can shout the rooftop off and be very carnal, yet be very naturally minded. You can go to any concert today, right? And there's a lot of noise going on in there, right? And you can listen to the Star Spangled Banner and get goosebumps. Amen. That doesn't necessarily mean that's the Holy Spirit, right? So it can move your soul and your emotions, that soulish part of us. But I find that when the Lord is moving in my heart, He will also overwhelm my emotions at times. I can become teary or joyful, and express my heart, through even my soul, my emotions. So we want the Spirit of the Lord, though, to be the adult. We want the Spirit of the Lord to be in charge of our lives. And so we don't want to be led of the soul. And sometimes we're trying to lead our own way and asking God to bless it. But if you discover what God is doing and do that, it's already blessed. God blesses that which he approves. Amen. And he approves his word. He approves his will. So he's given us his word to protect us. And that's why we need to understand and have a good working knowledge of the word of God. That's why it's so important that we study to show ourselves approved. Amen. So then we don't need to be ashamed. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. There's a lot of confusion and a lot of lies that are being spread around, and people, unfortunately, many people are going there because they don't know what the truth is. If you don't have a standard, you'll fall for anything. So he was talking about a situation where they used to get together and have, if there was their fellowship meal, their agape love feast, it was called, potluck. They'd get together as a family, as a church, and they would, they would eat and drink together, fellowship together. And how many know that God wants us to be together and to fellowship, amen, with one another? And there's a great opportunity for us to edify, build up, and encourage one another, amen, get acquainted, to know each other below the surface. And so they were doing that, but there was a problem because there was a caste system there. There was people were being treated unfairly, the poor were being despised. And the rich were eating and despising the poor. And even to the point where things got so carried away that some are even getting drunk at these things. So, Paul had to bring some clarity to that. Say, hey, this is not what this is about. Amen. There's also this issue with, you and I make up the body of Christ. And so as a part of God's body, the Lord's body, then we need to respect and honor one another. And we also need to learn how to forgive one another, amen, and not hold grudges. You know, you've heard it said, but unforgiveness is like drinking poison and thinking it's going to hurt the other person. And so we have got to get the unforgiveness out. You've got to learn how, by the grace of God, by the ability God supplies, to let people go, to forgive them. And often healing will not come until a person deals with some heart issues such as unforgiveness. Unforgiveness can open the door to all kinds of problems. Amen? It'll just eat you up like a cancer of the soul. And so the Lord wants us to recognize that it was because of His great love, because of His great mercy, He went to the cross and He paid the price that we deserved to pay. And when He hung on that cross, He even went as far to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the great love, the great mercy of Jesus. And so as He has been merciful and gracious to us, so He says, now you go and do likewise. You love one another. This is my commandment. Amen. That you love one another. We're a family. If you're doing good, I'm doing good. If you're not doing good, I'm not doing good. Amen. We want to make sure every member is healed and restored and brought back to health again. Amen. We don't want to kick somebody down. Amen. We don't want to criticize somebody when they're going through a hard time. Amen. We need to throw out the life preserver. Amen. If somebody's going down, amen. We don't want to encourage that. We don't want to be an observer. We want to do what we can to help somebody out. Amen. And that's loving one another. Amen. It's not considering myself so much as it is considering others. God's kind of love is an agape love. Self-sacrificing. Self-denial. See, the Lord didn't say to hate yourself. He said, deny yourself. Don't be full of yourself. Learn to love as I loved you, as I gave you an example. The Lord had to live a selfless life in this world, amen, to live according to the Father's will and purpose. But for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, amen, despising its shame. Now He is set at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. We have a great intercessor, a great high priest. And all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And so before we take of the communion today, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what that means. I'd like you to take a moment, just if you would, to bow your heads and say, Lord, if there's anybody in my life, anyone that I haven't forgiven, first of all, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Lord, if there's any sin in me, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me from that sin right now. Lord, I ask you to wash me in your blood. Purify my heart, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd renew a steadfast spirit within me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Lord, if there's anybody that I haven't forgiven, please bring them to me. Some of you are getting a picture right now of somebody. They've hurt you. But God said, I want you to let them go. I want you to forgive them. Forgiveness means to cancel the debt. And talk to that person right now. This is what I do. I just speak to that person. Whether I can talk to them in person or not, sometimes it's not possible. You can just take that person and say right now to them from your heart, wherever they are, God knows. Amen. Your words are spiritual in nature. Amen. And words can carry. Hallelujah. And I want you to just speak to that person. Name them and say, I choose in the name of Jesus Christ. I choose to be obedient to the Lord, and I, at this point, I am forgiving you. I am canceling the debt. Tell that person right now, I let you go. You are free to go. You owe me nothing. The debt is canceled. It doesn't mean that what they did was right. It just means that I am going to let you go, amen, and let God deal with the rest. Hallelujah. Would you do that right now? Maybe there's somebody else. Say, Lord, is there anybody else? Somebody else I need to forgive right now. Just speak to that person, name them, and just let them go. Talk to them and say, I let you go. I forgive you. If you need to make restoration, you need to make restitution, you need to go to that person later on, go to that person and make up with them. Amen? Do what you can. If you can't get to them, if God's not telling you to do that, then don't do it. But be obedient to the Spirit of God right now at this time. God wants you to be free. Amen. He wants to get that monkey off your back. You see, when we hold on to unforgiveness, oh, you don't know what they did. Well, maybe you don't remember how bad you were. Amen. When Jesus went to the cross on your behalf, how bad that was for him. Amen. And he's saying, if I've shown you this kind of mercy, I want you to do likewise to your brothers and your sisters. And so as an act of obedience, and Lord, just to response in response to your command to love, I forgive. I let you go. You're free to go. You owe me nothing. The debt is canceled in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it go. Let them go. And God will let you go. You see, if you hold on to unforgiveness, you're giving permission to the tormentor. You're giving permission to demonic spirits to plague you. So do the right thing before the Lord, and the Lord will rebuke that devourer. The Lord will rebuke that enemy. The Lord will deal with that. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now that you are here to liberate, set the captives free, Lord, to open prison bars, release every captive. We cancel every assignment of the enemy against this body right now in Jesus' name. And we declare the freedom. Freedom to the captives to stay in this house. Be free in Jesus' name. And if you've forgiven others, amen, then your Heavenly Father will forgive you. And so now thank Him, Lord, thank you. As I've forgiven others, now you have forgiven me. Hallelujah. And I receive my forgiveness today. And I declare I am forgiven according to your word. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel Jesus in this place. Thank you, Lord. So after they had this feast, this love feast, this agape feast, after eating, then they would celebrate the Lord's Supper, the communion, remembering the Lord's sacrifice, his broken body. You know, he was broken for us that we might be healed. He shed his blood, amen, for the forgiveness of our sins, but also to seal the covenant. Amen. The strongest covenant that can be made is a blood covenant. And so Jesus went to the cross on our behalf, and he shed his blood so that you and I can be brought into communion with him, that we can be made right, reconciled to God through that precious blood. And only through the blood can we be reconciled to God. Only by the mercy of God can we be forgiven. It's not because we're good, it's because God is good. Because God is merciful. And we cast ourselves down at his feet, and we trust in his grace, and we go free. Hallelujah. And so now the Lord has given us also to his church this ordinance to remember what he's done for us. But I also look at this, guys, as this represents marital wine. It was the third cup, you know, in the feast, the Passover. Amen. It was like, I'm saying that I am a spouse to the Lord. The church is likened to the bride. Amen. We are the bride and he is the bridegroom. And so we're coming into covenant with him through the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why, guys, God had instituted marriage. Amen. Before sex, because the act of intercourse itself, I'm sorry if I'm speaking a little bit adult here for some, but I don't, it's hardly anybody doesn't know anything at 3 years old anymore, but a marriage is actually consummated through intercourse. And it was to be a covenant in blood, amen. And it was a seal, a sign that the two become one. And so the only way that we can be united together with the Lord is through the blood. It's through the blood that we are united as one in covenant. And this is a covenant that him and the Father had agreed to. Amen. It is a binding covenant. God is a promise keeper. God will keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. We commit our souls to him as to a faithful creator. If you're born again and the Spirit of Christ is in you, you are a child of God. Amen. And so we also are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. And this was to represent not only what the Lord did for us in redemption, but it was also to speak forward to his coming. Amen. The return of the Lord. Because in John 14, the Lord said, don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Amen. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I've gone to what? Prepare a place for you that where I am, where's that? Heaven. There you may be also. And if I go again, he says, I'm going to come again, he's saying. The Lord is coming for who? He's coming for his bride. He's coming for his church. He's coming for those who are ready, those who are pure. And that's why we must repent today and get our hearts right with God, so that we're ready when the Lord comes to receive his bride. Amen? No other lovers. No other gods. Sold out for Jesus. Eyes for only him. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you and we appreciate you and we thank you for all you've done. Thank you for your mercy this day. Thank you for being with us. Thank you again, Lord, for guiding us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, today we are forgiven. We receive that. We call upon your name, Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on me. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and strip off that top layer, exposing only the bread. We thank you, Father. God, we ask you to bless this to our bodies, our minds, our soul, Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, as we partake of this together, Father, that which you have paid for, Lord, in your own brokenness would be released into your body, even here and even now. As an act of faith, Lord, as we partake of this, we pray, Lord, that the healing that you purchased for us at the cross will become visible, manifest here, even now, in every body, every mind, in Jesus' name. For Lord, we believe that you bore that crown of thorns that our minds could also be healed. For you bled for us, Lord, that we could be made whole. And we thank you, Lord, that you were willing to pay a price we could never pay. And out of gratitude, we say thank you, Lord, for your indescribable gift, the gift of your love. And Paul had received by revelation from the Lord. He said, I deliver to you that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you so much. Hallelujah. Make us whole, Lord. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. Hallelujah. Receive your healing. We command sickness and we command disease to go now in the name of Jesus Christ. And all spirits that would cause sickness, we command you to go now in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose them now in Jesus' mighty name. We plead, Lord, the healing power, the blood, to make you whole from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. To be restored in your soul even. Hallelujah. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So guys, it's like a renewing of our vows to the Lord, of repledge. Amen. To be faithful to the faithful one. He is always committed to you. God is totally committed to you. God wants us to recommit ourselves to him. Amen. So as we take of this, we just declare, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for drawing me to yourself, Lord, and making it possible for me to come with confidence today before your throne of grace. So, Lord, I thank you even now that everything I am, everything I have is now your property. And everything you are and everything you have is also mine. Because we are one in the Spirit through the new birth made possible through the blood of the covenant that seals the deal. So, Father, thank you so much. We just thank you, God, and we pledge our faith anew to you, say, Lord. Just tell them, Lord, everything I have is yours. I am yours, and you are mine. In Jesus' name, I receive this cup. Amen. Holy is your name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, my prayer is that we will be one, even as, Lord, you had prayed that your church would be one, your people would be one throughout the earth. Father, we know that in heaven there are no distinctions. We are all one family, one holy nation. And even here, we are a royal priesthood, your own special people, be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So, Lord, teach us how to love one another, to walk together in unity, Lord, as our lives are built upon the foundation of the truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ, our chief cornerstone. Unite us together, Lord, we pray, as one. Cover us right now, Lord. And we pray that you would open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our hearts, the eyes of our ears, even to be able to hear clearly what you're saying, Lord. Speak to us now, Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you. Make us ready. Make us beautiful in your sight. Purify your bride. Purify your people. God, I ask that I will be changed today. And I pray the same for my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep yourselves unspotted from this world as the bride awaits the coming of the bridegroom. God, help us. Grant us the grace. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, Jesus told us to pray. He told us how to pray. And he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The original language actually says, on earth as it is in heaven. It says, as it is in heaven, so on the earth. So we say on earth as it is in heaven, but it's actually as in heaven, so on earth. Now, it's important that we understand that because you and I in Christ are to live from heaven to earth and not from earth to heaven. And I'm going to get into this and explain what the Bible clearly teaches about our new birth and our position with Christ seated in heavenly places. So the title of the message is Seated in Heavenly Places. Young's literal translation says, thy reign come, thy will come to pass, as in heaven also on the earth. So the point is not getting earth to heaven, but heaven to earth. And so God chooses you and I as the vessel through whom heaven will come to this earth. We need to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, how does God accomplish his will? He accomplishes his will through his people in the earth. You see, a lot of times we're asking God to do for us what he's called us to do on his behalf. We're asking God, do this, God, but sometimes God has said, I've already told you what you need to do. What are you doing about it? Hello. I mean, if you want to see changes in, well, I don't know about nowadays, but if you want to see changes in the politics, you got to go out and do what? Vote, right? You got to take an action, all right? It's one thing to pray, Lord, put the right people in power, but when you have an opportunity to be involved, amen, to cooperate with God in the process, because God doesn't just do everything without us. He works through us to accomplish his purposes. As a matter of fact, he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the earth as a witness, and then the end shall come. What's going to happen first? Well, the gospel is going to be preached into all the earth. Amen. And then the end shall come. That means that somebody has to be sent. Somebody has to go. Somebody has to speak the truth for the will of God to be accomplished. God's looking for someone who will say, here am I, Lord, send me. And if you feel like you're not qualified to do that, well, let God qualify you, because naturally none of us are. He qualifies us, right? So the starting place of everything was God's heart from heaven. Amen? He spoke and all creation was formed. Let there be light, and there was light. So it all originated from God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Amen? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It all began in the beginning, God. Amen? God created. So salvation came from heaven, did it not? The Word became flesh. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen, became the Son of Man. The Word became flesh. God became a man and represented the Father's heart to the world. Came as our sacrifice to pay the price that we deserved to pay, because Adam had sinned. We had all sinned. And the only way that we can be justified is not by our own good works, but by God's mercy, by receiving the forgiveness of God. Amen. And that begins at repentance. That means that I change my heart, I change my mind, I change my way, and I commit myself to the only one that can keep me. How many know that you can't make it on your own? You can't do this thing without Him. You can't do this thing once a week on Sunday morning. This is a daily walk in the Spirit. You need the power of God, amen, in you. Salvation came. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is where? In heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no problems and no worries in heaven. Guys, how many would agree with me that the Lord is not worried about anything? He's God. Amen. He's sovereign God. He's not worried. We get worried, but He's not. So God says, I want you to come to me, rest in me, and let me have those worries and let me have those fears. I'll give you rest for your soul. Okay? Because Jesus didn't stress out, guys. Amen. And when that storm was hitting that boat, amen, Jesus was doing what? He was sleeping. He said, what were you guys all worked up about? Peace be still. Commanded the winds and the waves, right? But that's what we understand, is the only rest you're going to really find is in Christ, in the Lord. All good things come down from the Father. Amen. People blame God for this and for that, and, you know, because they had a bad day or something happened in their life they didn't understand. Just because you didn't understand something doesn't mean that God is bad. Amen. The devil's a liar. He's a thief. He causes all kinds of problems. He gets us to cooperate with Him, and He gives, because He knows people have a free will and they can do what they want with that will. And as a result of that will, many people suffer, even innocent people suffer, because somebody cooperated with the wrong person. So the Lord's trying to tell us something here. I want you to come to me. I want you to rest. I want you to learn of me. I want to instruct you in the way you should go. I want to make your way prosperous. I want to bless your life and make your life full, a man of joy and peace and goodness and all the good fruit that God is. It's only found in Christ. We are only complete in Him. And so God is trying to teach us how to find rest in His arms. Every good and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. On the day of Pentecost, they were all together in what? One accord. And what happened? There was a suddenly, right? Like as of a rushing mighty wind, right? Filled the room where they're at, amen, and then appeared upon them, what, the cloven tongues of fire. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. What was happening? Well, heaven came to earth, amen. Heaven broke through, hallelujah. And then once the Lord rested upon them, what happened? They become the vessel. They became filled with God's Spirit, and they begin to turn the world around. Because what we have in ourselves is not sufficient for the task that God has given us. We're not capable of doing what God's called us to do independent of Him. It requires God's ability. It requires God's power. And if you don't think that you need God's power, you are being deceived. Because that's also deception, to think that you don't need God. The devil has you captured in your mind to think that I don't really need to pray like other people. I'm pretty strong. I'm a pretty strong Christian. I've seen a lot of strong Christians go down because they allowed themselves to go and they didn't stay connected to the vine. Amen. And without realizing it, they became vulnerable and weak and susceptible to the enemy. And that's why we have to stay armored up every day. Put on the full armor of God. Be vigilant. Be watchful. You know, your enemy's about, right, looking for someone to devour. So what happens when we are born again at salvation? We are actually, it's like a bottle within a bottle within a bottle. It's an amazing thing happens. It's like the Lord comes upon us, right? We're filled, but we're like encapsulated in Christ, all right? And then we're also in the Father. It's like being in a bottle within a bottle and then being in the Father. So together we are one, you see. God is perfect in all of his ways. He's not divided in his thoughts. He doesn't, you know, get confused. He doesn't, you know, say one thing and mean another thing. Everything God says is exactly what he means, all right? And whatever he says he will do. Why? Because God is holy. He's not, he's integrated. He's not, right, like human beings who may say one thing and be thinking something else. Or be saying something and doing something different. God's not like that. And so the only way that you and I can be holy is to be in the Holy One. God is the one that restores us. But our responsibility is to continue in the Lord. Jesus said we need to continue to abide in him. Okay, now, Colossians 3:1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, this is what happens at the new birth, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do you see it? My life is hidden with Christ in God. So at salvation, we are positionally seated with Christ, where? In heavenly places. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And did what? Verse 6, raised us up together. And made us sit together. In where? Heavenly places. It's a song we love to do. We haven't done it in a long time, but seated in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, people perish for lack of knowledge. If we don't understand who we are positionally in the Lord and where we are seated positionally in the Lord, then we live way below our potential in God because we're living an earthly existence and a life that's set on earthly things and always like trying to climb up into heaven. But if Christ is in you, hallelujah, then you are like in the bottle, amen? You're contained in God. God's got you. And your heart is united together with him in heavenly places. In other words, my heart, when I'm born again and Christ is in me, my heart is in heaven. So I'm supposed to live from that reality, from that superior reality, from that place, amen, from heaven to earth. You can't buy your way to heaven. It's by the grace of God that you are saved. It's not of us, is it? Lest we should boast. It's the gift of God. God wants to reveal himself to you and I. And through us, he wants to reveal himself in the earth. Remember in John 7:37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him what? Come to me and drink. That's what you got to do. I mean, God can prepare a banquet before you, or you can go to a banquet or a smorgasbord, if you will. You know, there can be a great spread there. You can look at it and say, man, that's a really nice looking spread. Or you can indulge yourself, all right? Now, God wants us not to just talk about his goodness. He wants us to experience his goodness. He wants us to taste and know that God really is as good as he says he is. Amen, somebody. And when you taste and you see that the Lord is good, what happens is you start to get an appetite. You begin to hunger and thirst for more. It's like eating chips, certain types of chips, you know. Just say no. You start to eat one, it's like, man, that's pretty good. I can't just have one, right? And so we have to, if you will, you have to develop an appetite, because if you're used to just eating things, worldly things, filling yourself on the things of this world, then you need to change stations, amen, and get your station tuned into heaven, amen. Seek the things above, seek the Lord himself, amen. And with God comes all the fullness. And as you taste and see that the Lord is good. See, there are people that come to church, even they watch other people really getting blessed. And they're just observers of other people getting blessed. And God's saying, don't just stand there and look at somebody else getting blessed. Why don't you come to the table and dine yourself? Yes. And find out why they're so excited and why they're so crazy for Jesus. Guys, I tell you what, when I got born again, I came out of the darkness and into the light, man, and what a difference. Amen. Oh, my word. Man, he had to put a tether on me because he was like, he's loose. I come into church, man, I was just like on fire and lit up. And I was like, what's wrong with these people, man? They're not getting it. Some of them dead. No excitement, no joy. They might have had joy at one time, but they're just like that old wilted fruit that's just barely hanging on, you know. See, God wants to breathe new life into the church and revive his people around. He wants to revive the church in America. But we've got to have a hunger and a thirst for him. And we've got to get our minds out of the idolatry of this world into lesser things and focus on the superior realities, which is heaven and the Lord himself. Amen. Set your affections on things above where Christ is seated. No one can be possessed of the Spirit of Christ and keep that Spirit to themselves. Where the Spirit of God is, there is a flowing forth. Come on. If there's no flowing forth, then he's not there. If the Spirit of God is in you, there will be evidence. There will be fruit. There will be a flowing forth. If there's no flowing forth from your life, guess what? The Spirit of the Lord is not there. Let's not fool ourselves. Coming to church doesn't save you. Only Christ saves you. And when you're born again, you become a new creation. Your affections change. Your desires change. Your passions change. You want to live for God. You want to serve the Lord. And you become an expression of his heart in this world. Hallelujah. Because you cannot contain everything that God has. Amen. If you're open and available to allow God to work through your life. Hallelujah. It's going to be just like Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So where the Spirit of God is, there's a flowing forth. In Romans 8 and 9, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. There's a difference. We're not talking about people that have a weak moment. Well, they're really in the flesh or in the Spirit. If Christ is in you, then you're in the Spirit. But we have to yield to the Holy Spirit. But he said, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. You see, people believe in their mind. They believe that, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. So there's the devil. He believes in Jesus. That doesn't save you. You must be born again. If there's no flowing forth from your life, then you're not in the Spirit. And therefore, you're not abiding in Christ. And that's why the Lord calls us to worship. Because we need him. How many know that God is not insecure? If we don't say thank you, Jesus, or praise you, Lord, I don't think God's going to be shaken by that. But he knows that we will be. if we don't give him thanks and give him praise, because we need him, and God inhabits the praises of his people. So we must be worshipers of God in the spirit and in truth. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to bear the good fruit of his spirit. If there's no flowing out of your life, then it means that the spirit is not there. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because if the spirit is in you, amen, there will be the manifestation. There will be the fruit of that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He's a life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. I think what's happened is that many have a false conversion because somebody told them they were saved, but they never even came to the place where they knew they were lost. They just might have needed help at a certain time in their life, and they said, okay, they came to an altar and said a sinner's prayer. And so many people, they're not really born again, but they just come to God because they have a need, and once the need is met, they're gone. But when you're born of his spirit, you cannot just lightly take God anymore. Amen. The fear of the Lord comes upon you. There's a sense and an awe of his presence in you. Hallelujah. Even when I'm alone, I know God is watching. Amen. The fear of the Lord will keep you. How then? Jesus was our example. He said, the Father that's in me is doing the work. So he said to them that believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their heart will flow or belly will flow rivers of living water. So how did Jesus release the Spirit? Well, the first way he released the Spirit is by speaking the word of the Father. By the spoken word, the Spirit of God is released. When we speak in agreement with what God is speaking, there is life. Amen. It's John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. There was an impartation of life through the word, and the word that was spoken in agreement with the Father's will. By the laying on of my hands. The Lord laid hands on people, didn't he? And parted. Okay, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And what did he do? He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now, how do we know that there was a flow out through the laying on of hands? Well, because people were healed. Hello, there were miracles that took place, bearing witness to the fact that the Spirit of God is working through the Lord. Amen? Amen. And when the woman with the issue of blood, remember, she clawed her way through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus, of course, being surrounded with all these people, stops and says what? Who touched me? Because he perceived that virtue had gone out from him. Hungry people will draw God's presence. God is attracted to those who are attracted to him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so we got to make sure that we get rid of the things in our lives that would choke the life out of us, amen, or to artificially satisfy us so that we don't have a sense need for God's presence. Come on. That's the problem in America, idolatry. So many things, so many distractions, so many other things that people don't have time for God. Well, maybe I'll check in, punch the clock on Sunday morning once in a while just to keep my shoe in, you know, or my name on the membership roll. Go moving right along. By the laying out of hands, there was an impartation. There was a releasing of the life, all right, of the Spirit. Now, another way that Jesus did this, and we see this in John chapter 20, verse 19 through 22, but by breathing upon people after his resurrection, The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he did what? Breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Isn't that interesting? That when God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, amen, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. It's like the Lord was restoring that which had been lost. Amen. But then later the Lord said, "Now tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." You're going to receive an anointing. Amen. So you understand when the Lord was there, he gave responsibility to his disciples because the king was on the scene. Amen. And so he gave them delegated authority at that time to go and represent him, to cast out demons, to preach the kingdom, right? To raise the dead. Those types of things. But then here the Lord, after his resurrection, appears to the disciples and he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, guys, the Lord works in mysterious ways. You know, he doesn't fit in my theological box. God can do things that blow my mind. God will do things that, you know, we've never seen him do before. He's God, and I think God can do what he wants to do, when he wants, how he wants to, whoever he wants, because he's God. And so we just need to get with him and his program and discover what he's doing and say, "Lord, I just want to partner with you in whatever you're doing." Even if that doesn't make any natural sense in my natural understanding, because God will challenge your mind often, doesn't he? With your logic and my logic, you know, my God's going to do something different. I've never seen an axe head float before, but God can make an axe head float. Did you know that? He did. Yeah. Now, we all know that a tree is known by its fruit. There will be a flowing forth of the life of God if you're in Christ. And on the last day, the great day of the feast, that would be the Feast of Tabernacles, right? Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." And of course, the tabernacles was a reminder of celebration, really, of God's faithfulness and protection during their wilderness wanderings for 40 years. And the reference Jesus was making here, he says, of the water flowing out, was really referring to this ceremony known as the drawing of water. And the priest, along with a multitude of people, they would be rejoicing. It was also known as the Feast of Joy. So this was a joyful celebration, also, if you will, a Thanksgiving feast of gratitude. Amen. And they would go down from the Temple Mount to the Pool of Siloam and they would draw water. And then they would ascend to the Temple Mount with the multitudes rejoicing. And when they got on the top of the mount, the priest would pour out the water while reciting Isaiah 12, verse 3, which says, "Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." That word is Yeshua, speaking of who? Jesus. "To them that believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water." Hallelujah. So God says, you're going to be my vessels. You're going to be my temple. Hallelujah. He doesn't dwell in a temple made by hands. Amen. We meet in a building. Amen. But we are the temple of God. Hallelujah. A holy habitation. All right. And God calls us together, doesn't he, to gather in his name. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Isn't that true? So faith is more than just intellectually agreeing to something or believing something. True faith has evidence. True faith will produce substance. It's something that becomes tangible. Maybe not right away. But if you go out and plant a garden, you're going to plant in faith that the seed is good. And that in time, you're going to go out and you're going to notice something breaking up through the sod. Amen? Which is a sign of good things to come. Hopefully. I don't know about Washington State. But when we plant seed in the right conditions, amen, and that seed is nourished, amen, it's going to eventually produce a harvest. Of course, you didn't know that, but now you do. We got to be very careful because we're tenders, amen, of God's investment in us. You know, when God gives you a gift, when God gives you something, He wants you to be faithful with that gift. He wants you to take that gift and trade with it. He wants you to invest that. Amen. Whatever it is, be faithful in what God has given you. Use it for His glory. Amen. Invest your life now knowing that you can't save your life. Amen. In this world. But you can keep it unto eternal life. And whatever you're sowing now. Amen. And understand according to His will, that will be kept and reserved in heaven for you. And that's a good promise, isn't it? Hallelujah. But you and I are to be that vessel of life. Amen. But he who comes to God must believe he is and that he is a what? Rewarder. You see, if we're really in faith, then we will seek the Lord. Then we will obey the Lord. If we really believe God, then we will obey God. Somebody say amen. You see, we can intellectually agree with the message and say, that was good. Yeah, I agree with that. But is my life producing the fruit that God desires? And that fruit is produced because you and I have a willingness to agree with God, amen, and to act upon His word. We have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen. So, by faith, we overcome the world. By faith, we overcome ourselves. Faith what? Faith in God and faith in God's ability. Amen. Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So here it is. Are you ready? In order to receive from the Lord, we have to have more faith in the unseen realm. In the unseen realm, that is the things of God, the promises of God, than what we see in the natural. To receive from God, we must first hear of the promise of God. And we must believe in our heart that that is reality. And when God gives you a promise, He also gives you an instruction. There's something that you need to do to activate that faith. Amen, somebody. Elijah had to take up, remember, the mantle. And he had to strike the water. And he said, where is the God of Elijah? He had to put an action to what he believed before it became a reality and the waters parted. If he had not done anything, the waters would have remained where they were. But he believed that what God had promised had come to him. Amen. As Elijah said, if you're with me when I leave, you'll receive that double portion. Well, he was there and he did what he was instructed to do. And the time came for the mantle to come. And so he went out and said, I'm going to go test the waters, if you will. Guys, if you want to see miracles, you want to see things happen, you want things change, then you need to take a step of faith and start to act upon what you know to be true in your heart. Faith has evidence. Faith has substance. It's more than just agreeing with something that it's true. If you want to receive from the Lord, you have to believe in the unseen realm to a greater degree than you do in the seen realm. So often we are controlled by what we see and what we feel in this world, and that can hinder us from receiving what God wants to give us, which is always better. See, some people are unwilling to give up temporary things or temporary comforts or even a little money, amen, to give into God's kingdom because they're more concerned about what they feel and what they see. That's really where their faith is at. Their faith is in the government. Their faith is in their boss. Their faith is in their spouse, whatever it might be. Our faith needs to be in God, amen, who blesses us abundantly, and all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. And so I need to believe in that reality. The unseen is actually superior to the seen realm. And I need to, by faith, make a deposit or a withdrawal, should I say, amen, from that account in heaven by acting upon the word of God. If there are any men among you sick, let them call on the elders of the church and do what? Take a step of faith and action. Anoint with oil. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. If they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. If we believe that, then we will do that. If we believe that God has promised us, amen, that healing is the children's bread and that these gifts are for the church today, amen, then we will act upon that and we'll start to step out and we'll start to test the water. We'll start to practice. We'll start to pray for people. And if at first you don't succeed, keep at it. But we want to learn how to hear the voice of God, and you will, through experience, learn to discern the voice and the will of God. But it takes a willing vessel. It takes a heart that says, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do. Step out in this. And sometimes, guys, it means that you're going to be put in a very vulnerable situation, understanding that, well, if I pray for this person and nothing happens, now hear me, well, I'm going to look like a fool. Well, that's what the devil wants. He wants you to focus on you and not on what God told you to do. See, that's the part of us that we have to get over. The part of us that would be embarrassed. I think that's why David danced before the Lord like he did. Come on, somebody. He had to get over himself. He didn't care what people thought. That's why we got to get our ugly worship on sometimes, right? I don't care what anybody thinks. Hallelujah. We're here to worship God. We're going to give glory to the one who saved us, brought us out of darkness into his light. Hallelujah. We have a reason to rejoice, to celebrate the Lord. Hallelujah. And God inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. More praise and more presence. Praise until you break through and you get into the realm of the Spirit. Amen. And then you're going from the handsaw to the power saw. All of a sudden, it's like it's a lot easier and a lot more is happening because I'm abiding in the vine and the vine's just flowing out of my life. Amen. Because I've activated that gift by stepping out in faith and doing what God told me to do. God tells you to open your mouth and I want you to share your testimony with somebody. Oh, God. Step out of yourself. Get over yourself and start to do what God says to do. And watch the Lord work. We got to get over fear. I mean, you know, in his presence is fullness of joy, and in God there's perfect love. Amen. In that perfect love there's no fear. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for the work you're doing in our hearts and our lives, and that your faithfulness, God, that you're stirring us up, Lord, that you're waking up your church in America. You're waking us up inside. God, we want to be people that walk by faith, people that trust you, Lord, that lean on you, that allow you, God, to do what you want to do through us and in us, Lord, in this world. Hallelujah. God wants people saved. He wants the salvation to come to people. Amen. He's looking for vessels. He's looking for you and I to say, here am I, Lord. Use me. God wants to heal people through you. Did you know that? He wants to heal bodies. He wants to heal minds. He wants you to cast out devils. He wants you to witness to people. He wants you to serve. Hallelujah. Serve in the church even. But all the fruit of the Spirit and the works are accomplished by faith in God alone, who supplies the ability, the grace for me to do what I'm called to do. Hallelujah. And if you're saying, well, that's kind of a fearful thought, then get over that fear, amen, by getting deeper into God, by being a worshiper. Worship your way through, amen, until you get into the realm of the Holy Spirit where there is no fear, and a certain kind of supernatural boldness will come upon you as you're immersed in the Spirit of the Lord, amen, and he'll empower you by his Spirit to do what you would never do naturally. But you and I are called to be supernatural people, amen. God will super your natural as he comes upon you and fills you with his Spirit. But God is looking for worshipers, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, knowing that we need him. Come on, somebody. Oh, God, light us up. Would you raise your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, light me up today. Lord, fill me up today. Lord, set my heart on fire. Oh, God, Most High, we hunger and thirst. Lord, send revival to America. Send awakening to your church, Lord, throughout this nation. Stir up, God, our hearts. Awaken us inside, Lord, again. Bring us to full flame again, Lord God. Set us on flame for you with holy passion, God. Give us boldness, Father God. Hallelujah. To never fear man. to overcome the opinions of people, that we will live solely for the will of God. Lord, that we will be more concerned about what you think than what people think. Father, I pray the fear of the Lord will captivate our hearts and our minds. God, that you will bring us to a place where we'll be willing, submitted, yielded, even joyful vessels, Lord, that you would even consider allowing us to partner with you and be a part of what you're doing. Father, you told us to proclaim the kingdom, to teach the nations, to make disciples, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, even to raise the dead. God, we say, use us, Lord, for everything that you want to accomplish. God, give us ears to hear your voice. Remove those things in us, Lord, that would hinder us from clearly knowing your voice, that we may speak the truth. Because we know, Lord God, your spirit is released through the word. Through your word is life. Your word is spirit. God. Hallelujah. Open up opportunities for us, Lord, even this week, to minister to people in the marketplace, wherever we find ourselves, Father, to be faithful stewards over your investment. Because I know that my actions will demonstrate what I really believe. What you really believe will be evidenced by your actions. Come on, somebody. So, Lord, hallelujah, fill us up. Fill us up, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.